Hello and good morning and welcome into Big Talk. We have college sports with a Midwest perspective. We are blue collar and blue blood. I am Sam Sprunger. I am not Dalton Shetler. Dalton's actually in Minneapolis. He's going to be at the women's Big Ten tournament. So I've got the trusty Tony Hollinsworth joining tonight or today. Tony, what's up, buddy?
It's good, man. I'm enjoying San Francisco, California. A little bit of a time zone stretch. It's pretty early here in the morning,
but yeah, you'll get over it.
I know, right? I mean, in my heart, I'm still on the east. I'm still on East Coast time. So realistically, it's not that bad.
Right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. Not anything. I guess we've got a lot of different small topics. There's not one pressing huge topic that we've got to talk about, but there's a lot going on. Like I just mentioned, the women are playing their tournament, their conference tournament in Minneapolis this weekend. Next week, the men take over Minneapolis and they will play theirs. Championship or the Big Ten title for the men is wrapped up. Purdue goes into Champaign and puts Mr. Hawkins in his place after he said we control our destiny and they have to come here. And you're right, they did, Mr. Hawkins, and they, being Purdue, put a stop to you. Had an 11-point trail by 11 in that late in that first half. And then came back and Braden Smith with the ice cold three-pointer to with about 15 seconds left gives Purdue the 77-71 victory over the Illini in Champaign, securing their second straight outright Big Ten championship. Tony, what does the I have mentioned over multiple times that that this year's different. It just seems like this year's different for Purdue. Would you agree that even though they haven't really, I mean, they did the same thing last year. They dominated last year, but this year just seems a little different. You're on mute.
There we go. Okay. I was able to catch part of that, but no, I think it is different for Purdue this year because, again, you know, we've talked about this before in the fact that you have to remember the last few years that Purdue has gone to the tournament and has won the Big Ten and whatnot. Yes, they've had senior players. They've had really good juniors. They've had really good seniors. A lot of those freshmen and sophomores had to learn from them, and they had their own talents that they were going to bring in. Now you have to remember, you look at Zach Edey, you look at Braden Smith coming in now. They're 2 to 3 years removed, so now they're both juniors and seniors. Obviously, Zach Edey declaring
that Smith's only a sophomore.
Yeah. So Smith is going to at least be able to be there for another 2 years if he so chooses to. But we know Edey for sure is going to declare for the NBA draft.
He's already said as much.
And yeah, this is one of those people kind of forget with a lot of these teams, even though you have the continuity of a lot of really good players to be able to keep your program alive, keep Purdue as one of the top 10 programs in the entire country, that you're going to have that little bit of stumble. You're going to have that change, that turmoil. Some of these guys are a little bit battle tested. And you have to remember too, even though your previous previous players were able to get into the tournament and get so far and they ended up failing, this is learning opportunities for them. This is a chance for them to take what they've learned, be able to take that, move forward with their own experiences and their own knowledge and be able to push forward with that. They don't have a lot of that. Okay, well, we did this the first time. Okay, now we're going to do it differently the second time. They're coming in, they're more battle tested. And I kind of like a little bit of what Purdue has started to do with their schedule too, much like Michigan State does. They have started to face a lot of the top teams in the country because, again, they want to be battle tested. Like, look, you know, when we come into this, we should have no excuses as to we have been battle tested. We've faced every top team that we can. And for the most part, Purdue has ended up coming away with a victory against just about every single one of them.
They have won 35 straight non-conference regular season games. That means for the last time, I believe it was the article I wrote about it, I believe was 2022, December of 2022. Against Miami, Florida. They lost a 2-point game to Miami of Florida at the end of the the preseason or that non-conference schedule at the beginning of the year. And that's the last game they've lost against somebody out of conference during the regular season. And here, I know we'll get a lot of, well, Matt Painter's, he's lost to a 12, a 13, a 14, and a 16 seed. Or 12, what is it? A 12, 14, 15, and 16 seed. He's lost. That's his last four exits, other than the game against Virginia, the year against Virginia with Carson Edwards. I don't care. I really don't care, because, like you just said, absolutely none of those players are on this roster except for the 16 seed. And let's think about the last time a one seed lost to a 16 seed in the tournament before last year. What'd they do the next year? They ran through the tournament and ran into Purdue and should have lost, but found a way to win. And then they went and won the national championship. So I'm not saying that's, you know, obviously Purdue's going to win the national championship. I hope they do, but I don't think I think that those guys learned from that. The guys that weren't on the team last year, they're taking their cues, like you said, off of the guys that were here last year. Those guys that were here last year, I was in the press conference watching Zach Edey stare laser beams through each of the people asking him a question. He wasn't mad at them. He was mad at the fact that they had just lost to a 16 seed. That was his problem. And I think that was probably the driving force to him coming back this year, is because he wanted to prove that they weren't that. That they didn't want, he didn't want his legacy of what happened at Purdue and him winning the player of the year, then, you know, the last impression you get of Zach Edey is, well, they got beat by a 16 seed and he never comes back again. Now, would he still have a successful career? Maybe. That's fine. And it wouldn't, but you could tell it bothered him. You could tell this wasn't going to go over well for him, and he wasn't going to get over it very quickly.
And again, this is what people also have to realize with college basketball. And this is what I know personally, this is what I love about the game of college basketball, is the fact that anything is possible. Like Purdue has found out, you know, 14, 15, 16 seeds. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the matchup is on paper. Now, like we've talked about, realistically, if this was something like the NBA and you have a 7-game series, Purdue is more than likely going to come out on top in that series. Correct. Whoever is that other seed is, they may get a win or two here or there.
Tobin Anderson said it himself, Tony. Tobin Anderson in the press conference after they beat the number one seed in the Midwest region, the Purdue Boilermakers, they beat them. Just walked off the court and celebrated that they beat them. Got in the press conference and said, we play those guys 9 more times, they beat us 9 times.
Yeah.
He was not delusional at what they had just done.
And that's what people have to remember. That's the beauty of basketball. You can keep a close game. You can blow major leads. And that's all it takes, is that very last shot. You can even relate.
Ask Michigan State last year against Iowa.
Yeah. Michigan State versus Iowa. You could even look at the NBA. Look at when Kawhi Leonard won his title with the Raptors. It was literally KD was a foot off the court away from that completely changing history. And that's the beauty of basketball. That doesn't mean your team is bad. It's just they got one more shot off. They happened to make it.
You were this much off of the ball in game 7 rolling off the rim and not going in, and the Raptors being eliminated over it going in and they advance. It was game 7. Kawhi Leonard puts up a fader at the end, or from the sideline, from the baseline, at the buzzer. It hits the rim. The backboard hits the rim, sits there for what seems like 3 days, and then falls in. Mm-hmm. It could have easily just fallen out the other way, and the Raptors were eliminated. They don't win their title, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. The basketball is a very, very finicky, let's say it this way. Lose and go home situations are very finicky and have to do NFL football games, college football games. Even look at TCU beating Michigan last year in the Final Four there. You just don't know. Sometimes you just don't know, a perfect game plan can win you a game on occasion. It's how things fall.
And let's be honest too, even it's not something we can measure, it's not something we can ever prove, there's a tiny bit of luck involved sometimes too.
For sure.
There's just a little bit of luck. It doesn't take much for it to work and for it to happen.
So I'm looking at, if we were to have or be done with the season right now, everybody in the men's, on the men's side, it appears has one more game each to play. Yes, everyone's at 19 games right now. Purdue secured the Big Ten title. They are the one seed they are the one seed in the Big Ten tournament. Illinois is secured at the two seed. That's where it gets crazy then. Anybody all the way down to, I believe, Michigan State can get the third seed in this Big Ten tournament. And so, like, and they are right now, I'm sorry, I meant to kind of qualify that. 3, 4, 5, 6. They are number 7 right now in the way tiebreakers have gone and stuff. They are 7th in the Big Ten right now. And they could, with, I don't know exactly the scenarios, but they could end up as the 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Actually, maybe not. No, they can't. I'm sorry. They can only get up to the 4 because Wisconsin, no matter what's going to be no worse than 11-9. And I do believe they have beaten Michigan State twice. So that automatically gives them that over them. So Michigan State can get the 4 seed. Iowa can get the 3rd seed. I have seen different scenarios where Iowa, multiple, not even just like one outside chance. There are multiple scenarios that Iowa can get the 3 seed. The 3. And we haven't talked about Iowa all year, Tony. We haven't, they are struggling offensively. That's all we said. And they could be the 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament.
And I think if I remember right, when we kind of talked preseason a little bit about it, I think between all three of us, we expected Iowa to take a pretty big nosedive because of all those great Iowa basketball players leaving. It's like, yeah, we don't expect Iowa to really do much this year.
Well, and that's kudos to McCaffrey, that he's done a decent job. They're still only overall 18-12. Like, that they don't have a huge resume, and honestly, they're not even in the tournament right now to a lot of prognostications. I mean, Michigan State is, and they're below Iowa in the Big Ten, but you know, Iowa is not. Let's look at the others. So you got Wisconsin at the 3 right now. Nebraska finally got their win, one win on the road. They have Michigan, I believe, coming up in the next for their last game of the season at Michigan. Michigan has secured the 14 seed for the Big Ten tournament. They will play on Wednesday in one of the first two games. And so Nebraska can have. They could, if they beat Michigan, they're the 3 seed. Did we see Nebraska as a 3 seed in the Big Ten? I sure as in the world did not, because I expected Maryland to be better. I expected Michigan State to be better. I expected Ohio State to be better. Not that I didn't think Nebraska would be okay, but I just didn't think that they could potentially be the number 3 seed in that Big Ten tournament. Whereas, because here's the thing, Purdue plays Wisconsin on Saturday. They play him tomorrow, and it's senior day. Zach Edey and the other seniors are going to be leaving and having their day. They're not going to want to go out and lose. And plus, they're 15-0 at home. They don't want one loss on it, and it's simply because they didn't try. They're going to do their damnedest to win that game, and the way that Purdue's playing, they're probably going to win that game. So that right there puts Wisconsin at 11-9. Nebraska wins, they are the 3 seed, or at least they jump Wisconsin. I don't know how what has really surprised me is, since Ty Berry has been hurt, Northwestern is still, they've lost 2 in a row, but they're still in the top 4 of the Big Ten.
I say, they're tied, because they're tied with Wisconsin at 11-8. They're tied with Nebraska at 11-8, and then themselves at 11-8. I do want to point out real quick, though, can we give a big kudos to really everybody in the Big Ten this year? Because there are only two teams that overall have a losing record. Penn State is 14-16. Michigan's 8-22. Everybody else is at 500 or better. Yeah. Like almost everybody, at least the top few teams, except for the last four, are 18-12 or better. Except
you
for
want to hear something funny.
What's that?
You want to hear something funny? Penn State, who has an overall losing record, they're not next to last in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's even more crazy.
They are 11.
Yeah, that just shows you how bad Michigan has been, though. Like, they pointed it out, Michigan has not been the 14th seed in the Big Ten since, like, the 1960s. It's been almost over 50 years.
There weren't 14 teams in the Big Ten in the 1960s. There were 10.
True.
So they've never been the 14th team in the conference because
they've never been the bottom of the Big Ten. The last time they finished last in the Big Ten
was in the mid 60s. So like this isn't unprecedented. Let's jump to them a little bit. Dalton and I talked about them a little bit last week. Is this Juwan? I mean, he thought maybe with the fact that they won that Michigan won the national championship in football, there would be a little bit of a good feeling around campus that they may give Juwan Howard one more season. Does that and maybe the heart condition thing, do they give him a little bit of a pass on the atrociousness that they have performed with this year? Or is it, yeah, we've had enough problems with you leading into this year. This is just, we need you to go.
If it's me, I say they go ahead and they cut the ties. If it was me, I would tell him, look, man, you either got to resign, you got to retire, you got to leave on your own accord.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be realistic about it. Yes, he had the heart condition, and he ended up getting surgery on it on the offseason. That is terrible. And the fact that Michigan won the national championship in football, like you said, there's probably going to be a little bit of that momentum. There's going to be that, hey, we're Michigan, like we are a championship type school. Our football team just won. We should be doing good. You're 8-22. You're 3-16 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And let's be realistic with this too. And this is unfortunately what I hope the Michigan athletic director looks at. Don't let this one bad year overlook all the other bad years that you've had. And what I mean by bad years is you have underperformed. You've underperformed and your star recruits are leaving. You lost Hunter Dickinson because
your All-American left and not for the NBA.
No, he said, I have a better chance of winning a national title with Kansas than I ever do here at Michigan.
And he also said the money was a lot better there too.
I don't blame you. But that says a lot though, that while yes, money probably has a big factor and there's nothing
Juwan
Howard can do that, but that says a lot about your coach though, that even your own sons, they've had issues with his sons, not wanting to work with the athletic trainers the way that they're supposed to. The fact that Hunter Dickinson has All-American left, like that says something about your coaching. And it may just be he doesn't work well with those players, he clashes, but that's your job as a coach is to fix that. Is even
well, didn't
though
you bring him in?
Exactly.
So like, I mean,
he did something. What changed?
Well, and the one thing that you have to take into consideration too, and I will always fall back to this because they're struggling this year. They underperformed last year. The year before that, he got in a fist fight with coaches on the court. The year before that, he got into a fight with Mark Turgeon in the Big Ten tournament. Like, this isn't there is a habitual offense to how he coaches. And now you get the reports that, his players are disrespecting the trainers, and the trainers are like, I'm not dealing with this, and stuff like that. That's the coach's job. So, honestly, I think it's a matter of they're going to have to get rid of him. I don't think that they're going to pull in. They'll probably, if there are, they couldn't even keep Love either from North Carolina. He transferred in and transferred out. Now it was because credits didn't transfer, but come on, if Michigan really wanted to, they could make those credits transfer.
I'm going to be honest, because me going to college personally right now, it was super exciting whenever I go to school and be like, yeah, your credits don't transfer. But then I see an athlete do it. I'm like, wait a minute. Does the athlete thing get like a little perk? Like, yeah, he's an athlete. Those credits transfer. Because the same thing, like, yeah, we can make an exception for you. Like you're gonna,
well, I know for a fact at the Division III level where they don't give athletic scholarships, they're all academic scholarships, that each school has an academic scholarship that goes to a player that might not qualify for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again,
there's ways to get around it.
Oh yeah. And there definitely is. But again, like you said, what does that say about the coach though? The people that you're even bringing in are now leaving.
Yeah.
Because, and for Hunter's sake, he was there, what, 3 years?
Maybe like, even four.
Yeah. Like he bought in a good majority of your time, like his time to you, with the expectation of you're at least going to be competing, if not winning a national title, and you didn't come close. And you know other players are doing that.
The young man became an All-American at your establishment and then decided, I'm going elsewhere to win a national championship. Now, it does not look like Kansas is going to win. Don't get me wrong. They could get warm and pick up some wins and run because they've got a great roster, a really good roster. They weren't the number one team in the country to start out the season for nothing. They just, for whatever reasons, and it could be partially Hunter Dickinson's issue, not fault. I won't say fault, but coming in as an All-American, you have an expectation of yourself to be the man, and you maybe try to do too much, or you don't mesh with some of those guys that are the man when you walk in. You know, there maybe that you know is rearing its head to where they're not going to. But I think what Hunter Dickinson was saying was, my best way or chance of getting a national championship is not staying in Michigan.
Yeah.
Not to say that it was going to be a perfect fit once he went to Kansas. Right. It was just, it's not going to happen in Ann Arbor.
And plus you have to look at it too. For Hunter, you know, you go to Michigan. Michigan's really not known for playing those big powerhouse teams, especially early on this season. So there's not really a lot for Michigan to be battle tested on until the season.
Beat by McNeese State.
Exactly. He goes to Kansas, and much to your point, you know, Kansas was the number one team. I don't think people understand how good the Big 12 really is when it comes to basketball.
Houston's the number one team
at 27-3. Iowa State's 24-6. They're ranked
number six.
Steelers 22-8. Texas Tech is 21-9. They're not even ranked. Kansas Baylor is 28-8.
Did you say Baylor? I didn't hear.
Yeah, Baylor is 22-8. And like I said, Texas Tech's 21-9. Kansas is 22-8. Texas Tech and Kansas are tied in their conference for 10-7 right now.
And to put this in perspective, there are one, two, three, only four teams, potentially five teams in the Big Ten that will have 20 wins going into the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you named at least six, I think, didn't you?
Four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, eight teams
potentially
in the Big 12.
Or do have 20. There are eight that do have 20. And see, that's my point, is the Big Ten might have five.
Yeah.
They might have five going into the tournament. Now, once the tournament gets rolling, you may get, you've got Michigan State, who's at 18. They've got one more game to go. Iowa's at 18. They've got one more game to go. Wisconsin's at 19. That's why that's the team that could be without, but they'd have to beat Purdue. So then you have Minnesota, Ohio State, both at 18 wins. Indiana, IU is 17-13. So if they were to win their last game and then win a couple, which the way it's playing out, they're going to end up playing Purdue in the second round or in their second game. And things could happen, but I don't anticipate Zach Edey letting IU beat him in. Granted, it's not just him, but the way they dominated both of the games against IU, I don't know that Zach Edey's going to let that happen. But, if they won two games, they get to 20, then they're an interesting bubble team. Here's the thing. The Big Ten only has six teams that are being prognosticated as solidly in. All of them are in, you know, by games, so they're not in the first round games. They're not going to Dayton first. They're in a position. You've got Iowa, though, that could still get in there if they could win and then win a couple of games in the tournament. And here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe Iowa's got to win the whole thing to get in. Maybe IU's got to win, even though they're almost, that magic number is almost 20 every year. It's been 20. Yeah. If you're at 20 and you're a bubble team, you have a legitimate argument many times, because that means you've won some games that you, that maybe aren't like marquee games. You're not upsetting a number, a top five team, but you're beating some solid teams to get to 20 wins. The fact that there are four, five teams that could end up with 20 wins, depending with you know, the way the end of the last game of the season and maybe a couple of games in the tournament go, that's pretty impressive for a down year. But what you were saying is the Big 12 already has eight teams with that. They haven't even got to their tournament yet. They're finishing up their turn, their regular season. So, like, they've already gotten that. The Big 12 is very good. Very good.
They could even have nine, because Texas is sitting here. They're 19 and 11. They only need one.
And Texas has been a top 10 team this year.
Yeah, they've given Houston a run for their money. They gave Iowa State. They gave Baylor. They've given Kansas. They gave everybody that they faced a run for their money so far.
And we've been talking about the Michigan and the teams that have made some hay here. But you've got Nebraska, who's sitting, like I said, at 21-9. You've got Purdue, who's sitting at 16-3 in the conference. Okay, and we know they're 27-3 overall, but 16-3 in a conference that you don't normally see three wins or three losses as the champion's loss total in the Big Ten. Normally it's 5-7, you know, like that.
Let's say, oh no, we see three wins. Michigan's got three.
Three
we
wins. See, I meant three losses, but you knew what I meant. But the whole point is, what I was going to get at is, who's the Big Ten coach of the year? Dalton and I talked about this, and I brought up that, you know, Mike DeCourcy said Greg Gard could be if they won the Big Ten. They're not winning the Big Ten, so that and we hold Mike DeCourcy's, you know, opinion pretty highly in those types of things, because he's a voter, and he wasn't talking about what he thought. He talks to people, and a lot of people were saying if Greg Gard could win the Big Ten, even a share, that could garner him Coach of the Year. Well, they're not winning that. Fred Hoiberg's sitting here at 11-8 in the Big Ten. If they lose Saturday, they're 11-9, so they're only a couple of games over 500, with a loss to Michigan at the end of the season, for one.
Yeah.
Only one road win in the Big Ten, two overall. Mm-hmm. They've only won twice overall. 21 wins, but still, you know, some real glaring bad losses if they end up losing to Michigan. Yeah. Then you have Matt Painter sitting with the number three team in the country, expected to be at the top of the Big Ten, which they are, but has he exceeded the expectations of what people thought Purdue should have done in order to garner enough voting to be considered Coach of the Year in the Big Ten? I also have a dark horse that I'll bring up too, but
I would say I have a kind of a dark horse. I don't really have anything against, but
is that a legitimate, like, is he at least a legitimate contender, I guess, is basically, I'm not necessarily saying that you should agree, but is he at least in that consideration, since yes, they're at the top like they should have been, but they're exceeding what people expected from them. They beat they beat Illinois twice. They're probably going to beat Wisconsin twice. They lost to Nebraska in their one game that they played. They did lose to Northwestern once, but they did beat Northwestern, and they beat Iowa twice. They've beaten Michigan State. Like, they've beaten every team except for Nebraska in the Big Ten and Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying, but here's where I would make the counter, though, that I wouldn't put him at Coach of the Year only because of Purdue's past success the last few years. I mean, you think about it. While, yes, he's had some stumbles, like they've lost in the Big Ten, overall, he's still completely dominated the Big Ten and outright won it.
But at what point do you give him consideration? Because like last year, Chris Collins took it because Northwestern finished second behind Purdue, right, who wasn't expected to finish in the top five in the Big Ten. So Matt Painter, right, you know, super exceeded the Purdue expectations last year, didn't win it. Now this year, he's exceeding even higher expectations, and he's still not going to win it? That's what I'm asking. Like, that's the confusing part is, okay, you keep setting these bars for him, and he keeps exceeding them, but he's still not the best coach in the for the year? That's my question.
Yeah. See, for me, and I don't know, you'll have to show me the expectations that they kind of set for. Like, to me, when I've seen this, it's like, okay, look how well they did last year. A lot of his roster return, it's like, okay, I kind of expect you to win the Big Ten this year. Like, I expect you.
But that's just a lot of people were saying Michigan State was you could easily take the Big Ten from Purdue because they just expected Michigan. But Michigan State didn't perform to their expectations. Right. Purdue did. That's why. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I know we've got just enough of a delay that I'm starting when you're stopped, but then you start talking again.
No, that's okay. That's my hotel internet being ready.
So I'm not getting an argument saying you're wrong. I just I know he doesn't care. He wants success in March. He wants to win the Big Ten championship. He wants to have success for his kids. He doesn't necessarily need that. But when does it become his turn to win the Big Ten Coach of the Year? Because he just keeps winning and superseding expectations.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Like, if I was a Purdue fan and I'm sitting here, like you said, he's overall exceeded expectations. They've won the Big Ten for, 3 years in a row now. He's done.
Should have been three. Wisconsin, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Banking in a three-pointer at the end of the game and winning.
Stupid Wisconsin. Anyway.
Stupid scummy.
But nonetheless, though, you know, he's built such a great Purdue team, and they've absolutely dominated everybody in the country. So it is one of those, when you sit down and you look at it, you think, okay, he is a good coach. He's got really good players, and they've won. But I do wonder, too, what are the other factors that they look into as far as what they would consider head coach of the year? Like, you look at last year when you know, the coach won, you know, coach for Northwestern won because he got them a second. Everybody expected, you know, Northwestern to be an absolute dumpster fire because of basketball. They were almost always.
There we go.
Okay. but Northwestern was almost always a dumpster fire at basketball. So the fact that he was able to get them to second, that's a pretty crowning achievement. I would include coach of the year. And I would argue this for any sport, not just basketball. The coach of the year to me can also tie in with like an MVP vote of if you didn't have this coach, where would your team be? Is he the most valuable asset to your team? And I'm gonna say this about Painter, not trying to dismiss anything that he's done, but I think if you had a coach equally about as talented or as successful as him, like if you had Bill Self come in from Kansas, I think Purdue would still be about as dominant as they are right now with that current roster.
Okay, put Juwan Howard as a coach then.
Your program would be set ablaze. Like I said, that's
that's kind of what I'm getting at there. You took the Bill Self, the good coach. Okay, put a bad one in, or put one that's struggling this year in. Does Purdue still succeed?
Oh, no. And that's why I said if you had a coach that's on his level, like if you take one of these top tier programs, yes. Now you could put a bad coach.
Juwan Howard's been to two Elite Eight and two Sweet 16s. He's not been a horrible coach in the past. No, I'm saying, you know, at that point they were saying Juwan Howard was one of the best coaches in the country. He was interviewing for the LA Lakers job, Tony.
I remember that.
And now he's on the verge of being fired. So that's my point is, you know, I don't honestly, I, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It's just, it's very, it's almost sounds like he's becoming a victim of his own success. Like they're so good and the expectations are so high for them that even if he just barely goes up and over that, he was supposed to do that, you know? And so he doesn't get considered. But at the same time, you just said that you didn't think that team would be very good if Juwan Howard was their coach rather than Matt Painter. So that does bring some value to Matt Painter as the coach.
Oh yeah, it does. And again, it's not dismissing he's not a good coach, because again, if Juwan Howard comes in there, it's a different story. But now I do have
so to ask, who's your dark horse?
Mine, Brad Underwood for Illinois.
You think so?
I say that because if you remember early on in the season with the whole player issue with him getting, you know, charged with stuff, getting kicked off the team, then he got reinstated. You think about how many other teams does that happen to where maybe that player isn't necessarily as big of an impact, but all of that attention, all of that negativity can derail your focus and derail your program because, oh, crap, we have all this extra unwanted attention that we didn't want or need, and now our program is going to be a sinking ship. He managed to keep them to well enough that they're sitting at number two in the Big Ten right now.
You want to hear why I don't say that he is? They were expected to be in the top three or four. Their expectation was exactly where they're at. If you're going to discount Matt Painter for that, you've got to discount Brad Underwood for that. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. That's just if you're going to discount the top guy that is exceeding his expectations as well, but is sitting where he was expected to be, you've got to do it with number two as well, because not that Illinois was big, but people were saying Illinois could be that team that contends with Michigan State and Purdue.
Right.
So they're a top three, maybe top four. And I know, I know we have talked about it, and Dalton and I, it was between Maryland and Illinois as to that third team in the Big Ten. So really, Illinois is sitting exactly where they should be. You know, and any other year, 13-6 is a darn good record, maybe even contending for a share of the Big Ten. It just happens that the team that they're behind is exceeding the expectations that were set for them, and they're, you know, three games behind them going into the last game, and there's no chance. But my dark horse is sitting at 9-10 in the Big Ten.
Okay.
And that is Ben Johnson at Minnesota. He took a one on the chin. Minnesota took one on the chin on Wednesday night as IU went into the barn and took down the Gophers 70-58. What is his name? Keel Ware for IU scored 26 for the Hoosiers, and IU got a big win on the road. But Ben Johnson, let's think about that. Minnesota was expected to be where Michigan is. And they weren't expected to be much better record-wise either. So for them to be sitting at six or seven games above what they were expected to be at, to me, and Tony, if they were to win their last game of the Big Ten season, they'll finish 10-10. They'll be at 19-12. If they win a couple of games in the Big Ten tournament, are they good enough to sneak into one of those first round games in Dayton to where you're looking at, oh my gosh, the Minnesota Golden Gophers are in the NCAA tournament? You know, like, I don't know if they are even in the consideration. I haven't looked deep enough to, you know, how they've got the first four out, the next four out. And then, I don't know that they're anywhere near that, but if they were to win, and I don't even know what if the Big Ten tournament were right now, if the men's Big Ten tournament was right now, where they would be. But if he has a favorable tournament, he might be able to rattle off three wins, and they're going to be sitting at 22 wins for the year, 22 wins. Yeah. The Minnesota Golden Gophers, the dregs, the assumed dregs of the Big Ten, is sitting at 22 wins, and Michigan, who has won national championships, been to national title games, been to Final Fours, been to Sweet 16s in the past 5 years, are sitting at eight overall wins. That's huge to me. even honestly, Tony, if they lose their next two and they go to the NIT and they're 18-14, I still think that's one heck of a season for Ben Johnson.
That is pretty good. I do want to throw one more name out, even though it's to me, it's a reach, but I do want to see what your thoughts on it are, or if it's one of those, he just happened to catch lightning in a bottle for the situation that he's in and what he took over.
Diebler in Ohio State.
Yes.
He's 3-0.
He's 4-1.
Or 4-1. I'm sorry. They've won three in a row.
Yes.
They've won three in a row. They beat the number two team in the country at the time. And we actually did talk about that. Dalton and I talked about that last week. Is we're sure he doesn't qualify. There's got to be some qualifying, qualifiers as to who, you know, how you get considered for the coach of the year. But it really, honestly, we talked about that because it's certainly a possibility, I would think.
Because, I mean, you think about it, it's really not bad. Ohio State is now 8-11. At the time, they were what? That would put them at 4-10 before he took over. And now we got them to 8-11. They're 18-12 overall. That's pretty decent for a dude that again.
The fact that they were sitting at tied with Michigan for last at the time that Chris Holtmann was fired. And now they're sitting just under IU at the number 9. Yeah, that's impressive. That is impressive. Granted, he's only, what, 3 or 4 seeds higher or spots higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a team that had lost like 12 of 14 games when he took over. Yep. And the first game out of the chute, they beat Purdue.
Yep. I don't know. And it's seemed to carry him ever since.
Yeah.
Because I'll say, too, what little bit of basketball I got to watch, that first half against Michigan, they smothered Michigan. Now, again, that's not really saying much to smother a team that's crippled like Michigan at the current moment, but they still did it. Like, that's something that's still difficult to do in, you know, college basketball, unless you're, you know, Pacific and Pepperdine, and then
jeez, you get
56-9 at halftime.
The half. Oh yeah, that I sent you the text or screenshot of that. Pepperdine led Pacific 56-9 at the half. 56-9. They were almost down half 100 by the half.
Yeah.
And they hadn't scored double digits. That was a Georgia TCU game.
Dude, for real, it's like, oh, this is a football game? 56. Man, they've already scored 8 touchdowns. Good for them. Oh, they've only kicked 3 field goals. That sucks.
But, yeah, I honestly, Diebler, I wouldn't – it's not going to happen, but I don't know that I could argue. Honestly, especially if, you know, like they win their game on Saturday or this weekend, and then maybe they get a couple of wins in the tournament. Does that get them back on squarely on the bubble? Dalton seems to think they need to win the tournament, which I don't necessarily disagree, but they're playing well enough right now that, you know, could they? Sure, they can beat Purdue. We already know that. Anybody can beat Purdue, but we know that Ohio State can because we've seen it. So we know that they have the recipe for it. We know they can execute the recipe, but goodness gracious, if they got to the finals, that would put them at like 22 or 23 wins with some pretty quality Big Ten wins in there, including one against Purdue, if not maybe two, and maybe a win against Illinois, depending on how far they are, where they're at in the bracket.
Yeah. And don't forget, too, they have a win over Michigan State in the regular season, too.
Yeah, that was a heck of an ending. Whew, that was a heck of an ending. Crazy. Yeah, it's an interesting, very, very interesting topic to keep tackling. It's going to be exciting to see the men go into Minneapolis next week and fight this out and see how many. I'm not holding my breath past the six that have been projected for the longest time to be in the tournament, but it'd be interesting to see how many, if there's a shocker in there. Is it going to be chalk? Is it going to be Purdue and Illinois, or Illinois and like Michigan State, or whoever the four seed is, you know, will it be chalk, or is it going to be, hey, that nine seed got in, Ohio State and Northwestern are playing in, you know, stranger things have happened, I'm sure, but it'll be fun to watch next week as the Big Ten men take over Minneapolis for their Big Ten tournament. But right now, Dalton, our co-host Dalton, and the rest of the Big Ten women, minus a few teams that have exited early, are taking over and are doing their tournament right now. So far, four games in the books. Excuse me, four games in the books at Minneapolis for the women. Wisconsin takes down or loses to Penn State. Penn State needed this win. They're at 19 wins. They finished 9-9 overall in the Big Ten, but they're at 19 wins overall for their whole season. They really needed this win. I think they're probably in, but I would say they get one more win, and they're probably going to be pretty comfortably in. I think Dalton said that he was pretty positive that they'll probably make it, but winning a couple of games will definitely state their case a lot stronger and probably finish up solidify it and put them into the bracket for the tournament. But then you have Nebraska taking down Purdue only by eight. So the Purdue women, who had a struggle for this year, 5-13 overall in the Big Ten, and 13-18 for the season. Katie Gerald's and the Boilermakers end their season, but you know what? They're extremely, extremely young, and Katie Gerald's is an amazing coach. So there's a bright future for Purdue. It just give her time, you know, give her some time. She's going to build something into Purdue to where the Lady Boilers are going to be at least competitive. They're going to beat some teams. They're going to be pretty competitive. You'll see them in the NCAA tournament down the road, definitely. But Nebraska with the big win gets their 20th win. They're 20-10 overall. They probably are in, but they could use another win too, I think, to really solidify and make sure that they're going to be in the tournament there. And then Maryland takes down Illinois. Illinois was kind of the really weird team this year because there were such high expectations for the Illini, and they kind of stumbled during the regular season. They were 6-5 going into Big Ten play, so they really struggled in their non-conference. Then they went 8-10 in the Big Ten season, and they just couldn't. That right at the end, though, they seem to be pulling it together, and then they stumble against Maryland tonight, or today, or last night, 75-65, and they end the season 14-15. They're not going tournament playing anywhere, so they're gonna go home, which is normal for Illinois, except for the expectations after the season they had last year. They were expected to be a little bit better and probably make another tournament appearance, but they just couldn't pull it together. And then Michigan beats Minnesota, we've got the matchups today early in the 12:30 game. We've got Maryland and number 4 Ohio State, the Big Ten champs, taking on the Terrapins. That's a big game for Maryland. They couldn't beat Ohio State near the end of the regular season, but they get another shot at them. Michigan State and Nebraska play each other. Dalton was really excited that the Nebraska moves in and plays Michigan State, but in that last game of the season after Michigan State had won, if Nebraska had won against Wisconsin, Michigan State would have been playing on Thursday, and Nebraska would have had that double bye. But now you have Nebraska, who had to fight against Purdue and win, and have to come in after playing a game, and they're going to have to take on a really, really good Michigan State team who's seen a lot of injuries. They're playing 5 guards in their lineup. 5 guards. They've got a guard at the center position. But she is they're playing amazing basketball for a team that has a rotation of 7, playing five, like I said, playing five guards at a time, and their top scorers and their top big bigs are out for the season. They got hurt and then they're out for the season. So they're sitting here watching a Michigan State team really take off. And I think Robin Frelick has gotten the Big Ten Coach of the Year because of that and the overachieving of 22-7 overall for the season.
I was going to say, if we looked at last year with Michigan State, they were really close in a lot of the games, and they unfortunately just fell short a lot of times. This year, I think a lot of the expectations were pretty high that they would do a little bit better. But yeah, with the fact that they were riddled with injuries all year, the fact that you can still say at the end of the year they're sitting at 22-7, they're the fourth
and
seed.
And they were a buzzer beater by Caitlin Clark away from going into overtime against Iowa in Iowa City. Yeah. And anything happens. Anything can happen in overtime. You know, like they're playing with the best teams. I do believe that they didn't beat IU, but they played them very closely as well. So, I mean, they're playing now Ohio State. I do believe they got not thumped, but they did get beat by some points on that one. But the point being is they are absolutely playing good basketball and better basketball, especially than you were expecting from a Michigan State team, and especially better than a Michigan State team that's been decimated by injuries.
Yeah. So they started out earlier in the year. They went to Ohio State. They lost 70-65. Then later in the season, they went to IU. They lost by three. It was 94-91. Then they hosted Ohio State, who was number five at the time, and they lost 86-71. So they've been playing a lot of really close games too. So necessarily they're keeping it close, they're keeping it competitive, which is again a testament to what this team has been able to do. It's like, you know, hey, you how many other teams, men's or women's, you see something like this happen? It's like, I don't even know if this game is going to be close. This might be an ugly down.
Right. Well, they take on Nebraska, so that I think Nebraska needs it, probably, or may need it to get in.
Yeah.
Michigan State doesn't. So I think they're just improving and maybe improving some seeding if they get a couple of wins. Excuse me. But if they beat Nebraska today, they're going against Ohio State or Maryland. That's a tall order, especially if it's Ohio State. The other side of the bracket, you have Penn State and Iowa. That's going to be, I think Penn State might need this game. So if they do need it, I think they're probably definitely in if they beat Iowa. Iowa's sitting at number three in the country, and I think if Penn State wins that game, I don't know that there's much doubt that they're in the tournament because of that win against a really good Iowa team. And how crazy is it that we're talking about how good this Iowa team is, and the last 2 years they have not won the Big Ten title?
Well, and I was getting ready to say, for Iowa, if you sit and look at it, are they sitting here looking at it kind of how Michigan State does? They're the number three team in the country. They're in. Like, they're in pretty much no matter what, whether they win or not. So how much does it really matter to Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes? I mean, she already toppled the
record. I think they want to win. I think they want to win.
You think so?
I think they want to win, but I don't know that they're going to try anything cute. I think they're just going to play their game, and if they get beat, they might run a. I mean, they may be a little more liberal. You never want to lose. I mean, that's never something you want to do. But I don't know that. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right in the aspect of, they're not going to go pressing it. You know, they're not going to. Ooh, you know, somebody tweaked an ankle. Okay, you're sitting out the rest of the game. You know, or you took an elbow to the shoulder and it's a little bruised. Yeah, we're gonna sit you out, because even if we lose, you've got almost a week off. Then, if you win, you sit out tomorrow too. You know, or whatever. Yeah. So I think you're right, but I think honestly, I don't. I would hate if a team said, "Yeah, if we lose, it's fine." Now, once they've lost, we're not upset. I mean, we want to win, but we're not upset, because you know what? We already know we're in the tournament. We didn't need this game to get in.
Right.
that's kind of the way I look at it. And the way I looked at it as a coach is you're always trying to win. But there are times you'll take risks and there are times you won't. And I think this is definitely one of those that Bluder is not going to take any sort of risks. And even if it means they lose, because they know that they've got another game coming.
Well, and especially because you look at how close they got last year to winning a national title, and they lost out to LSU. Like you know, you have a championship roster. Like you know, you're right there. Like in the grand scheme of things, if I have to pick between winning the Big Ten or winning a national title, winning the national title over everything.
It's just like winning Coach of the Year in the Big Ten for Matt Painter or going to the Final Four. I think he'll take going to the Final Four over Big Ten Coach of the Year any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
100%.
Now, I think he values a Big Ten championship. Let's say it this way. If he loses in March, that doesn't faze him. He doesn't lose sleep if it meant they had already won the Big Ten. Like last year, it bugs the daylights out of him that they were a number one seed and they got beat. But at the end of the day, they got beat by a perfect game plan and they still won the Big Ten.
Yes.
So let's get to that last game of the Big Ten tournament. The 9 o'clock game tonight is IU and Michigan. I don't think Michigan's going to win this game, but IU is just, they have lost a few games. They're at 24-4. They've lost games that I didn't think they would lose. But at the same time, they've only lost four, you know? I mean, they only lost, what was it, three in the whole basketball or Big Ten season, didn't it? Wasn't it something like that? They only lost three. I mean, they were two games out of first.
Yeah.
Maybe they lost all four of them in the big. And no, they lost a regular season. Yeah, they were 15-3. They were tied with Iowa in the for second in the Big Ten behind Ohio State.
Out of conference, they lost to Stanford. They lost to Stanford really bad at the very.
And it was at the beginning of the season.
At the very beginning of the season, then they lose to Iowa. They lose to Iowa in a really bad fashion. Then they lose to Ohio State, not too terribly. They only lost by five, and then they
pumped by Illinois.
But then they immediately turn around and then they thump Iowa. Cause I mean, they beat Iowa 86-69. So, I mean, they turned it around. They turned it around quick.
That's the thing about IU is they lost pieces, but they also still had plenty of pieces left when they got to the end of the, or to the season, they still had plenty of pieces left and they've only lost four games. So, I don't foresee IU, excuse me, losing to Michigan today. But right before we sign off, who you got cutting down the nets on Sunday for the Big Ten then?
For the women's?
Yeah. Is it Iowa? Is it IU? Is it Ohio State? Or does somebody like Michigan State run the tables and shock everybody and cut the nets down?
Honestly, I think it is Iowa, and I say that boring. Mainly because if you look at what Caitlin Clark has done this year, she's come in on an absolute mission. After losing at LSU in the national title last year, you know, she came in with probably a couple goals. She was like, look, I want to try to become the all-time scoring leader if I can, barring any injuries. She was able to not only beat Kelsey Plum's record for the women's, but then she was able to beat Pete Maravich's for the all time, even on the
little
inside.
Bit.
She was a little bit.
There's a little bit of prefacing there. I don't like asterisks, that those blow, but the fact that Pete Maravich was not allowed to play as a freshman, he didn't have a 3-point line and he didn't have a shot clock, he would have added probably close to 2,000 more points onto. I think Dale Brown did the math, and because they had shot charts, and he would have averaged 51 points a game at LSU.
And as somebody who's an LSU fan,
I'm not taking anything away from Caitlin Clark. Right. Nothing.
Right. I say she did earn it, and I'm not, and I don't want to be dismissive of that
for
either,
sure.
She absolutely earned it. She's absolutely one of the best women's college basketball players we've seen in an extremely long time. But again, I have a little bit of heart love for my LSU Tigers.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think it's Iowa and Ohio State playing in the championship. I think it's chalk all the way through, and I think Iowa probably gets the best. And it's not taking any away from Cody McMahon and J.C. Sheldon. Iowa is – they are built for tournaments. They are absolutely built for tournaments, and I don't think that was an intentional move by Lisa Bluter. I just think that she has a team that is absolutely built for tournaments, and in those situations where they know how to play a win or loser go home scenario, and more times than not they come out on top. So I think Iowa cuts down the nets on Sunday as well. So well, that brings us to the end of the show. We didn't get to the fun topic I wanted to, but we certainly filled an hour's worth of time. Tony, why don't you take my role and tell everybody where they can find us.
So you can find us on the TikToks, the Instagrams, and the app formerly known as Twitter, aka X, at B1G_talk. That is big talk, but it's B1G_talk. You can also find us on Facebook at Big Talk. That's B1G Talk. You can add the underscore. You cannot. Either one is entirely up to you. Just remember, we're not all Big Talk.
That's those guys are probably great. They're probably great people.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm gonna shoot the first shot. I'm gonna fire the first shot. They're not cool. They're not even cool.
Oh, wow.
They don't even like bacon. They're just weird. Not a fan. But
the opinions and statements by Tony Hollinsworth do not indicate
the opinions and standings of Big Talk.
That's right.
You can also find us every week streamed here on the All Sports All Plays Network, which you can on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And you can also find us on the Lounge Media Group, as well as you can find us wherever you catch your podcasts, as well as the video version of this, if you don't catch on any of those websites, on Spotify later today as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, it's going to be a fun time the next couple of weeks, because we're in tournament time now. That's the fun thing is we're in tournament time. We're moving forward. We're ready to rock and roll. This weekend's the women's Big Ten in Minneapolis. Next week, Dalton and I will talk about the men's tournament in Minneapolis. But it's going to be a fun time covering and talking about what's going on there. And we've got some trips to the actual tournament going on as well. Hopefully we'll be at the first two rounds at a site there. And we are going to be at the Midwest Regional final. And we're still hoping to get to the Final Four. So there's a chance that we could be covering the whole tournament in person. And so be on the lookout for shows from locations yet to be determined. But for Tony Hollinsworth, I'm Sam Sprunger I'm filling in for Dalton, but so's Tony, if that makes sense. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. I'm filling in as the main host. You're filling in for him as the body and the talking head other than me. So yeah. We're both filling in.
And the Spartans fan, because he's a Spartan fan. So right. I have to fill in for him in that regard.
Well, I'm Sam Sprunger. That's all from this week from Big Talk. We appreciate you, and we will see you later.